Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Dalet, Chulin 4, and on Daf Dalet on the base, on 4b, the Gemara records a teaching that Rav Hanan says in the name of Shmuel, and the teaching is, Yisrael Mumar Ravodas Kochavim, let's say there is a non-Jew who was a sinner with respect to idolatry, this Jew worshipped idolatry, and so therefore he is what's called a Yisrael Mumar Ravodas Kochavim, a Jew who is prone to worship idolatry. Nevertheless, Shmuel teaches us, Mutar le'echol mishli tasu. Such a Jew is allowed, we're allowed to eat from his slaughter. And the proof for Shmuel's position, this radical position, that a Jew who is a mumar avodas kochavim, one can still eat his shchita, his slaughter, comes from an incident in the Bible. This is the incident that took place with Yehoshaphat, Melch Yehuda, Shenana Misudas Achav, that Yehoshaphat, the king of Judah, benefited from and took pleasure in the meal that was served by Achav. Achav was the king of the northern kingdom, not the king of Judah, but the king of Israel. So this is a reference to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 17 and 18, where we're told about Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, that after his father Asa died, it says in the verse that Vayi Hashem im Yehoshaphat kilach b'mitzvosav, that God was with Yehoshaphat because Yehoshaphat went and followed God's ways, and God blessed Yehoshaphat with wealth and great glory. And so as a result of this, Vayikbal libo b'darkei Hashem, Yehoshaphat followed the path of Hashem, and he removed all the idolatry from Judah. And so at that point, what did Yehoshaphat do? He sent his princes with the Levites, and they went to all the cities of Judah with the Torah scroll, and they taught the people the laws of Torah. And all the nations around Yehoshaphat were afraid because God put fear of Yehoshaphat in their hearts, and nobody waged war with Yehoshaphat. And indeed, they brought him offerings. And so Yehoshaphat became so big. And what happened at that point was Yehoshaphat married into the family of Yehoshaphat, married into the family of Yaakov. Into the family of Achav, because the Yehoshaphat's son Yehoram took the daughter of Achav for a wife. And so what happened was, after a period of time, Yehoshaphat came down to Achav in the Shomron, in the northern kingdom, and Achav made a slaughter, and that's the verse that our Gemara here cites, Vayizbacho Achav tzonu vakar harov v'la'ama sherimo, vayasiteyu la'alot el ramot Gilad. And so the verse states that Achav made a slaughter of sheep and cattle, and there were so many sheep and cattle there for all the people, and he enticed him to go up to Ramot Gilad. And what this is a reference to is that he wanted him to wage war. And so Yehoshaphat said, how do I know we should go to war? He said, let's look out and see what the prophets say. So Achav called him 400 prophets and says, should we go to Ramot Gilad to wage war? And so he said, yes, you should go there. And Yehoshaphat said, no, I need another prophet, because I have a tradition that two prophets don't testify in the same manner. And all these prophets, they are all testifying in the same manner. And so at that point, they called Michayahu the prophet, and he testified that indeed Achav alone would die in this battle, and that's exactly what happened. So we see from here that this is the story that Yehoshaphat, the righteous person, ate from the slaughters of Achav, and Achav was an idolater. And so this proves, says Shmuel, that somebody who is a mumer to worship idolatry can still do a kosher slaughter. So Gemara says, but it actually never says in the verse that Achav actually that Yehoshaphat actually ate from the slaughter of Achav. It just says that he slaughtered it. Maybe he slaughtered it, but Yehoshaphat never ate it. The Gemara says, no, it can't be, because it says, it says that Yehoshaphat was enticed by Achav. So this proves that he ate. So the Gemara says, wait, enticed doesn't mean ate. Vidilma bedvarim. Maybe he just enticed him with words. And And so therefore, how do we know that he actually ate from the food? The Gemara says, no, there's no such thing as enticing somebody with words alone. The enticement always happens with food. Ein hasasa bedvarim. There's no such thing as enticing with words alone. That's why we have to be so careful. The enticement comes from food. The Gemara says, is that really the case? What about the law of the mesis in the Torah? It says, well, ksiv ki yasischa achicha, and tells you that we should go worship idolatry. And there it says explicitly that he tells you. The Gemara says, no, even there in the Torah where it refers to the mesis, the enticer, it's referring to somebody who's enticed through food and drink. And what about the fact that God says about Job, he says to the Satan, that you enticed me to afflict him for nothing. And so there we see at the beginning of the Job story that that God was obviously not influenced by food. So the Gemara says, yeah, don't bring me a comparison from God. God is different because God is obviously not enticed. But we see from here this fundamental point that food is used to break down a person's barriers, to draw a person to a position that they wouldn't necessarily get on their own reflection. And then Itziv writes, the ein ish maskil yotzei migeder tivo v'chachmato asot divrei shtus emu b'achil avashtia. A person who is wise, a person who has a sound mind, doesn't depart from the normal intellect, the normal logical, rational position, except through food. I mean to say, food is the great way to attack a person. And so that's why we have to be on guard on many different ways of how we eat, who we eat with, what we eat, because this is a great way to break down our spiritual core, and that is the dangers of food, that it can break down our spiritual core. Food can also be used, a beautiful thing, to bring us closer to God, but we have to be very careful not to allow food to break our spiritual core.